This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
This podcast is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. The content shared is not a substitute for professional medical, mental health, legal, or financial advice. Please consult a qualified professional for personalized guidance or treatment. By listening, you acknowledge that the hosts and guests are not responsible for any decisions or actions you take based on this content.
Feel like a grouch, go beyond the couch, share your confessions on the Aurora.
Hello, Aurora Healing Crew. Welcome to the Aurora Sessions Beyond the Couch, where we take the stressors that come up in session and bring them into conversation beyond the couch. This is the space where real talk meets real life. Hi, everybody. This is Teresa. I'm sitting here with Mo, my best friend. We just recorded part one of our episode, and this will be part two, where I am back in the host seat and I will be asking Mo a bunch of questions. Mo actually had some questions about mental health and corporate coming from her role in her company. So do you want to start with one of your questions?
So I've been working in the corporate area for over 20 years now.
Uh-huh.
So we're not going to tell you my age, but it's been 20 plus years. And I've noticed that a lot has changed. Mm-hmm. A lot has changed in how companies provide mental health services, how they coach us on how to deal with employees, whether positive or negative situations. What do you think that is causing the shift in the corporate world? Like, what are we recognizing now that we didn't know maybe 10 or 20 years ago, mm-hmm. when I started, about mental health awareness that employers and companies need to have?
So all of this is all based off of Teresa, my own thoughts and opinions, not backed by research or anything. But what I think really helped shift is the Me Too movement. I think when the Me Too movement first came and was something, and people were out loud talking about being sexually harassed in corporate America or at work, that people were having the conversations of power differential, and because it was just accepted back then. Like, you were supposed to just tolerate any type of derogatory or flirtatious. I remember even as young women, even now walking down the street, people just feel like they have the power or the just able to just say whatever they want to without any repercussions. So I think once the Me Too movement came out and corporate America started terminating high level leaders and people that we see on TV every day, I think that started the shift and how it affected women's mental health. But also, I think it happened before COVID, but I think burnout, people, obviously money talks. And we know that when people, when there's a high turnover rate, you have to retrain staff. You have to, and that costs, like, I think the number is like $20,000 for each hire that you have to hire to retrain. Yes. So for retention, I think people are starting to notice that people are not staying at companies after they graduate and then just retiring like our parents did, that they have choices now. And with the newer generations, especially, I know I don't want to give millennials or the, I don't even know what gen they are now, but a bad name. But in a way, it's good that they know that they have options and they need to be treated a certain way or they literally will just leave.
I mean, I've absolutely experienced that with younger generations. It's interesting because you are proud of them. You are proud of them for standing up for themselves and for having their boundaries. Sometimes I wonder if it's too far, not in terms of self-respect. They absolutely should have the self-respect and they absolutely should advocate for themselves. But, you know, sometimes I wonder about the resilience aspect as well. But back to our original question, yes, I am very impressed at how, at least the companies that I've worked at, large corporations, how they've been incorporating more mental health awareness, more expectations that people will take their time off, will get a mental break so that they don't burn out. This is significant shift that I've seen from 20 years ago.
Yes, because it used to be you work, and you come in sick. And if you take a day off, if you don't drive in the blizzard, that you have bad work ethic.
Right.
But now I think people are realizing that you have to make sure that the employees are okay, because otherwise, their work, people will make more mistakes at work if they're burnt out. People will call out more if they are burnt out. So if you want better quality, more productive employees, it is important to take care and prioritize their mental health.
You know, like I forget the name of the book. Isn't that terrible? But I think it was called, maybe it was like The Happiness Project, where they talked about how if people are happy in their personal lives, then they also do better at work, which is different from what we had learned when we were younger.
Right? Yes.
We learned that work and success at work is going to make you happy in life.
Yes.
But it's interesting now to understand the opposite. And so I think it's very important to make sure that people are encouraged to live their full lives, are encouraged to take care of their families, take care of their health, and prioritize that more than work.
Yes.
And then that actually helps their work become better.
Yes. And the studies have shown if you give a better maternity or paternity leave, mostly maternity, if you give, if you have a good policy for maternity leave, the moms will come back more than if they only get the 6 to 8 weeks and they're forced to come back, then they're more likely to not come back because they're just not physically or emotionally ready. So people say it's business, not personal. But I think the shift is, it is personal because we're only working because of our families, because of our life, because we need the money to live. So I think that that also plays into why mental health is more prioritized now.
So it's interesting because this has been on my mind a lot lately. Because as you know, as my best friend, over like the past 5-6 years, I've gone through a lot, right? It's been miscarriages, IVF, mm-hmm. a divorce, mm-hmm. knee replacements,
mm-hmm.
and now parents being sick.
Mm-hmm.
And I am so, so grateful to be working at a company
mm-hmm.
where they understand that I need to prioritize my family and my mental health.
Mm-hmm.
And my work has been stronger and better than ever.
Oh, wow.
It's very interesting how, you know, actually being able to prioritize what I need to do for my mm-hmm. family and for myself has mm-hmm. actually helped my work. So this has been on my mind,
right.
this phenomenon. And I never tied it back to Me Too. You're mm-hmm. right about COVID as mm-hmm. well. But, you know, we're lucky in a way that I know those were terrible times in this world
yes.
that we had to go through. But we're lucky in a way that it happened, that it propelled companies to be more understanding of mental health awareness.
Yes. I was wondering because you have such a high demanding job, at least from my point of view, and for you to juggle, I think it's great that your work does honor your own life stressors.
I know that maybe it's a unique place. Mm-hmm. I hope it's not a unique place.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that there are more companies like this.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's the product of having very strong understanding managers. Maybe it's also a product of working in the healthcare space
mm-hmm.
because I do work at a pharmaceutical company.
Mm-hmm.
And so people are very understanding of, you know, different health issues and, you know, the type of support that you need to be able to get through it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's also the product of having an incredible team.
Mm-hmm.
So we were very selective in the type of people who we chose to work with. They're all people who naturally support
mm-hmm.
each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yes, people compete with themselves, but mm-hmm. they don't compete with each other. They naturally just support each other. And I know that if one day I have to run to the hospital because a parent is sick or somebody mm-hmm. is sick, somebody will, you know, be there for me and cover for me. But, you know, I know like a lot of the younger generation jumps from company to company,
mm-hmm.
Job to job. I've been with my current company now for 12 years.
Wow.
That is the longest I've ever stayed with an organization.
Yes.
But that's what's caused me to stay with the organization.
Yes.
The stability, the support, the understanding, and the fact that I keep getting opportunities and that, you know, having these other things happen in life
mm-hmm.
is not holding me back from
mm-hmm.
being able to focus on work and being able to do what I want to do.
Yes. So I want to ask you, what would you tell people or like to debunk some of the negative stuff about pharmaceutical companies? Because people think pharmaceutical companies are, especially during, I remember hearing during debates, pharmaceuticals and healthcare, health insurance companies, they were always like out there being bad now.
Mm, yeah.
So what do you want people to know? What do pharmaceutical companies do besides try to make money, which is what people think they do?
So let me first start with my experience with the people in
mm-hmm.
pharma. I would say 99.99999% of the people
mm-hmm.
that work in pharma, who work in pharma, are in pharma because they want to help people.
Mm.
Usually it's somebody with a scientific or medical background who had the hopes of doing something clinical, but then found their way into the pharma
mm-hmm.
space.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also so many people who are not of a clinical background.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's people with computer backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
We have everything in pharma, mm-hmm. graphic designers, engineers, et cetera. But most of them, I'd say, as I said, almost everybody joins pharma because they have the goal of helping people,
mm-hmm.
of getting medication to people, ultimately to help save lives or improve lives. So I think it's interesting that people have this perception of pharma, because if you just look at the people,
mm-hmm.
the people who are in pharma, which is why I'm glad there's more and more campaigns these days
mm-hmm.
that are featuring scientists and featuring people who are actually working in pharma, they're there in it because their heart is in it. Their
mm-hmm.
heart is there to help patients. Now, yes, pharma is expensive. Yes, sometimes drugs are expensive, but also people don't know the amount of work that
mm-hmm.
goes into all the research and
mm-hmm.
development that
mm-hmm.
it takes to create a drug.
Yes.
And once that drug is on the market, you only have a patent for 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
That means that you have to recoup all the millions, maybe billions of dollars that mm-hmm. went into doing research.
Yes.
Within those 7 years yeah. before it goes off patent and then before generic drugs come out and that are far less expensive.
Right.
So you have to do everything you can within those 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
Also take into account that when we're doing R&D,
mm-hmm.
When we're doing research and development to mm-hmm. get a drug onto the market, maybe out of 300 drugs, mm-hmm. one will come into the
yes.
market. You know, mm-hmm. so all the research that you're, all the drugs that are coming out for cancer, for, mm-hmm. Immunology diseases, all these different conditions, everything that we
anxiety, for, depression, schizophrenia,
everything. There were probably thousands mm-hmm. of molecules, thousands of compounds that were tested for just one mm-hmm. to come onto the market and that one that is helping you.
Mm-hmm.
And so it seems like it's a business that requires a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, they make that money, but that money goes back into research and development.
Mm-hmm.
And then something to just consider too is you need people who are highly knowledgeable to be
yes.
making these drugs and
yes.
working on these drugs, right? You can't have somebody who doesn't have this medical expertise or this engineering expertise to be making. I hope you don't want people
yes.
who don't have that expertise making your medications.
Yes.
So, you know, you have to pay them. So yes, you know, sometimes some jobs in pharma do pay, but they're also being paid for the amount of education, the amount of
mm-hmm.
of effort they've put into, sometimes over, you know, 20, 30 years of education mm-hmm. to be able to make the product that you're taking that is saving your life or helping you just live your life better on a day-to-day basis.
Thank you for explaining all of that so eloquently. And they only have those 7 years to recoup the money.
Yeah.
And for not just that drug, but all the drugs that they tried to test and the research, like, because they have to, then they have to just clinical trials and not all clinical trials you could use, so yes. many things.
And not all drugs make money too.
Yeah.
So, you know, yes, we're doing research for these life-saving drugs, but I worked at a company where we were working on a very rare disease.
Mm.
And the product was going to be used for maybe 100 people at the most.
Oh, wow.
And we would not make any money off of it.
Yeah.
And when the drug failed in clinical trials, I remember the CEO crying, not because we weren't going to make money off of it, because
right.
we weren't going to make money anyway, but because
those
failed
200
that
people.
Patient population,
yeah.
right? Those patients became, you know, our why,
yeah.
the driver behind why we were doing.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
All that research, why we needed to get that drug out there. And so not even every medication that we're studying is mm-hmm. going to make us money.
Yeah.
But it's our why is the patient.
Right. Thank you for that.
I think about social media
mm-hmm.
a lot
mm-hmm.
because I work in the regulatory advertising and promotion space.
Mm-hmm.
And we know, at least in the U.S., the way to reach patients
mm-hmm.
is through social media. And some people, you know, think of it as a negative, but then I see it as combating misinformation
mm-hmm.
on the internet, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you can go on TikTok, Instagram, any social media platform and get misinformation from a random influencer who is telling you to use a drug for something
yes.
that it is not approved for
yes.
and that can cause terrible side
yes.
effects. So I feel like it's very important for
mm-hmm.
us as pharmaceutical companies to be on there to be able to combat that misinformation
mm-hmm.
because we're at least regulated,
mm-hmm.
right? We're regulated, so we'll make sure it's factual and balanced information on there. But I wanted to understand from your perspective, from a therapist's perspective, you know, how do you feel about social media and how it's impacting mental health and how can we use it to improve mental health?
So that is really interesting because it wasn't until the last 10 years, like maybe 5 years, a public account. And I remember when I started a public account, I was so nervous, like, because our training, going back to my first guest, Michelle, was you don't self-disclose at all. Everything's private. You're just, you have to have really rigid boundaries. But I think yes, all that is true. But I think there's also, like, we only are supposed to disclose if it's going to help the client, but not in I was able to get through it so you can too way, but in that somehow in that antidote that they would understand, like something would help them, but not in a way that like you could do it too because I did it too, because that doesn't mean that they can, and that's an expectation that, because what if they can't do it, then they feel shame and they feel worse. So social media, I do think, can be powerful because we can feel included. There's other people out there. I get a lot of information that I do make sure that if I do get information, it's from a good source.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I do think that there are some therapists who are also going rogue too on the other end of it. Like that maybe share too much, but I mean, to each their own. So but I think we do have to ride that ethical boundary and what's helpful versus harmful. And you can go to social media. I think when social media, when you feel a sad mood or negative or anxiety, that's when I know I have to hide that account. Mm. So it goes back to like listening to your body, listening to your gut. I've had to hide accounts for so like silly reasons, but I noticed that it was triggering me because I was having FOMO for the most ridiculous reason. I knew rationally it was ridiculous. So I knew until I got that squared away, I needed to hide this account. So you could, if it doesn't feel good, I think you should hide it. If it feels, add to your feed what feels good, and then it can be helpful.
I'm so glad you said that, because I don't think very many people realize that they can actually control mm-hmm. their feed. Mm-hmm. And I've been doing that. Mm-hmm. I've been doing more and more of that, where if I see, I don't get FOMO as much, mm-hmm. but I get messages that mm-hmm. I don't think are healthy, mm-hmm. right? So I've been, you know, clicking see less or hide this account, mm-hmm. et cetera. You know how like sometimes these social media platforms just recommend accounts for you?
Yes.
I've been hiding them, and I've been very clear about it, because I also think it's so important to protect our mm-hmm. mental health on social media. And to your point, I also get so much information about different conditions. Like mm-hmm. I have different conditions myself, mm-hmm. and I find it so informative to be able to follow TikTok mm-hmm. handles or Instagram mm-hmm. handles that are giving medical information mm-hmm. about just even questions to ask your doctor.
Yes.
Right? It's not necessarily how to treat something or mm-hmm. not necessarily giving medical advice, but how can you have this discussion with mm-hmm. your doctor? How can you go about getting help?
Yes.
So yeah, I think it's very important to control your news feed.
Yes.
And give feedback and make sure that you're protecting your mental health that way.
Yes. Yeah, it's it definitely is a balance for sure. So one of your questions was, what roles does friendship and community have with mental health? And if we identify an issue, how can we get someone help? So I do couples counseling, and I am trained in Gottman level 3, and John Gottman, Julie Gottman, they have done tons and tons and tons of research, and they say healthy relationships lead to healthier people. So physically, which is why the medical world has to catch up to the psych world, because it's all interrelated. And if we are happier, like you said, in our relationships, we will live longer. We will have less medical complications as we get older. So that's why being around toxic people, we just need to cut them out.
Yeah. I've been getting better at creating those boundaries, mm-hmm. of like making note of who is forcing me to spend more energy, mm-hmm. versus filling my cup, and making sure that I don't have those individuals in a major part of my life, or, you know, becoming a toxic part of my life. Speaking of which, I wanted to ask you, so we're in a stage of life, mm-hmm. where people are either getting married or in and out of relationships. Mm-hmm. We're seeing more divorces at this, mm-hmm. age. As a therapist, how important do you think romantic relationships are versus amicable, like friendship, mm-hmm. relationships? And, you know, which do you think, if either, are better for your mental health?
So you're right, because there are people who maybe have never had a partner, like a life partner, a marriage, or people who have been divorced, and looking for somebody, or people who have been divorced and never want to be in another relationship again, and only want to focus on friendship, or widows and widowers, right? So there's that too. And they can't imagine being with anybody else either. So I think I think it's individual. So like for me, I'm a hopeless romantic.
We all know that.
Yes. So, I mean, I didn't get permission to remarry if anything happened to Michael, but this is fine. It's fine. But so that's why he has to, you know, be alive longer than me. Yes. But I myself love having just shared, like to have him to share the happiness with our kids. Obviously, I'm talking about a healthy relationship, but also for somebody like who, if you're happy, like single, and you can travel with a friend and be happy, you don't need a partner relationship, a romantic relationship. But if that's something that you really want in your life, I go back to Oprah. She says, look for someone like it's a job. It's a numbers game. Right. You can't just give up when the first 30 dates were bad. They're going to end. All relationships and dates eventually end or move on. It's just how long they last in between. So you have to keep trying and putting yourself out there. Otherwise, you're never going to find that person. You can't give up. But for some people, that's not important to them and they don't have the energy. When you're burnt out looking for somebody, take a break. But also, I think in the meantime, there's people who have a lot of work on themselves, which is, I see them too. We try to identify why do you smoke marijuana? Is it for entertainment or is it to help you cope? So if you're looking for a relationship to help you cope, to feel loved, then we need to work on that, because then you're going to fall into an unhealthy relationship. But if it's to add to your life, then that's something different.
That is such a great metaphor, because yeah, I think a lot of people are looking to find somebody that'll make them happy, mm-hmm. versus, mm-hmm. just add to their contentment, mm-hmm. and add to the joy that they already have in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And I sometimes wonder, you know, having gone through the experiences that I have, mm-hmm. if some of my friendships are actually my soulmates,
mm-hmm.
you know, because they do bring me so much joy, and mm-hmm. I do feel full. I do, mm-hmm. feel the love that I need, and I, you know, they do feed my self-confidence, mm-hmm. and So I sometimes wonder, not that that's going to hold me back from, you know, looking for a partner, but I am relieved to know that, like, I have so much joy from my friendships.
Mm-hmm. And I think people want partners for different reasons, and it doesn't have to be a romantic partner. I think if you could find a friend that you're completely satisfied to travel, I think traveling and companionship as we age is really important, what we look for. So if you have someone like that to share your life with, who needs an annoying partner, right?
Although somebody did once share this analogy with me that I also love. As you can see, I love analogies. They described the perfect relationship as a rock in your shoe, a tiny pebble in your shoe.
Okay.
Where you could still walk with the pebble, but the pebble just makes you feel a little bit uncomfortable and makes you want to be a little bit better every day. I kind of liked it because it's like, you know, somebody who doesn't let you get too complacent and too comfortable and helps you be a better version of yourself every day.
No, I get that. As long as they're not snotty about it, right?
100%.
Yeah. And as long as they have great communication skills so that it doesn't come off as criticism.
Right.
Yes.
Right. You're absolutely right. That's very important.
So before we end, is there anything else that you wanted to ask or share that you think that we should touch on?
I just want to share my appreciation for you being my friend, because you have brought the ideas of mental health awareness and also just, you know, getting help, being okay seeking help. Like, we've talked about it so much over the years, and I think you really encouraged me to talk to therapists. And there's one topic. We also talked about when it's time to break up with your therapist.
Oh, yes. I wasn't going to go there, but yeah.
But I love that we were able to talk about that, because it helped lead me to the right therapist.
Yes.
For me.
Oh, good.
Right?
Yes.
So I wanted to thank you for you know, inspiring me and for always being that support and always helping lead me in the right direction.
Well, you're welcome. And thank you for being a part of my life all these years. And just like Michael, you were there when I needed you the most, and you were the stable, my rock, the one that I could always count on through all the decades.
Yeah, same here. Actually, one more quick story. You remember we lost each other for maybe a year?
Yes.
I think it was between high school and college. And for those of you who don't know how old we are, don't ask, but this is before the internet really became a thing.
Yes.
I think we first had email, and I used AOL.
Yes.
To, I had a feeling you were at Rutgers. And I was at Rutgers.
Yes.
And right before your freshman year started, I emailed the dean of some program. And what a woman's woman. She found your contact and she put us in touch.
Yes.
Yes.
So I was so excited. And then she showed up at Rutgers, and it was like one of those slow-mo videos of us running to each other and hugging. Yes, we always find our way back to each other.
We do. It was an amazing reunion, but we were meant to find each other again. But I also want to compliment that dean. That she was, I mean, this was a time, I mean, maybe they wouldn't do that today. I don't know
if they would share stalker
information today. But I really thank her for putting us back in touch with each other.
And look at you knowing who to contact.
I mean, I've always been a great Google stalker.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for coming, and I will talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Before we go, Aurora Healing Crew, take a deep breath like you're soaking in sunlight. Warm, steady, grounding. As you move through your day, check in with your gut. Notice how you feel around others. Your energy is precious. Protect it, so you have the strength and light to do what really matters to you. Because life is hard, and we're getting through it together. Thank you for listening to the Aurora Sessions Beyond the Couch. Visit our website at aurorasuncounseling.com to learn more. You can find us on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, LinkedIn, and YouTube. Just search Aurora Sun Counseling. Got questions or topics you'd love to hear us cover? Email us at info@aurorasuncounseling.com or drop a comment. We'd love to hear from you.